When you listen to the Ron Van Dam Show, he probably seems like the kind of guy you'd like to sit down and have a beer with. Except he's chronically antisocial, and beer makes him gassy. So it's probably better to just keep admiring him from a distance. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What are you trying to say?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? Thank you for stopping by. This should be amazing. It should be. Not that it will, but it should be. This proves that you have excellent tolerance. This is what I'm trying to prove to you. Okay, we get it. You got a theme song. We get it. Jason Shaw does and performs a theme song, ladies and gentlemen. Jason Shaw. He wrote that for the show. Thank you so much, Jason Shaw. John Shanahan is your announcer, ladies and gentlemen. He's pointing out the exits right now, which I'm sure you're going to be using momentarily. John Shanahan, comedy writer, has his own HypnoCast, HypnoGog. You can find that at the bottom of our website, newenglandbroadcasting.com. You can link right to him. Goes directly to his pants. And there you have him. And then there's also Nicole Reed, who is the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. And she books many of the national interviews that we do on this show. So thank you, Nicole. I mean, whatever. And thank you to you for bringing me that apple pie yesterday. I appreciate that. Thank you. Yesterday was Halloween-y, and I was very confused during that holiday. I don't care for Halloween so much. I like the way that people dress up in costumes and just for a little while make believe that they're at some kind of strange comic convention. I like that part, but the violence thing with the blood and all that crap with the scaring people, I don't think people need to be scared. All you have to do is wake up in the morning and go through an entire day of your life, and you're scared enough. Just take a look at the news. That's plenty scary. I don't think we need to go scaring everybody supplementally. You don't need to. Life is scary enough. You get my point? So we don't need that crap. But I was confused yesterday because I didn't know the difference between Halloween and not Halloween. 7 o'clock last night, my doorbell rang. I opened the door. There's a kid wearing a striped shirt. He had a pizza box in his hand and a little hat. And I said, "Oh, that is adorable. You're a pizza delivery person. That's really adorable." He says, No, I really am. You ordered a pizza." "Oh, that's right. Oh my God, I am so embarrassed. I thought you were a trick-or-treater." I said, "No, you ordered a pizza. Here's a pizza." And I said, "Well, thank you very much. And for a tip, I gave him a Milky Way bar because I had so many of them. And it's Halloween, you know, go with the flow." He did not appreciate that. And I think he ate a couple of mushrooms off my pizza because a few were missing in key spots on the pie. Yesterday afternoon, I was like walking down the street and I see a guy dressed up in a costume and it was a policeman's uniform. And I said, "Wow, you look just like a policeman. You must be trick-or-treating as one of the village people." And he said, "No, I'm actually a police officer." So once I posted bail, I went home and I thought, "Whoa, that was a mistake. Ooh, I got to be careful." Mm-hmm. And then I opened the door like at about 7:30 last night, and there were two people standing there. One was in like a three-piece suit, and the other was in this long flowing gown. And I said to them, that is an adorable costume. What are you two supposed to be? And they said, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, that is adorable. Here's a Milky Way bar for each of you. And they said, no, we're actually Jehovah's Witnesses. We're trying to convert you to follow the Lord. And I said, oh, I'm so confused by this holiday. And then there were a couple of little kids that showed up, you know. And then there was one teenage girl who was dressed like a slut. And you can imagine the trouble I got into as far as her costume was concerned. I said, oh, that's a strange costume. What are you, a slut? And she slapped me. I don't know, man. I can't handle this holiday. I just can't. It's just, I get so confused. And it's so annoying to get up and down from the couch, which I have trouble doing to begin with because I'm so lazy. And the doorbell rings and I have to get up and get it. Like, why do I have to do that? I don't know these people. Why am I running to the door around dinner time to see people, strangers coming to, what are you doing at my house? I didn't have a lot of trick-or-treaters last night because most of the kids in the neighborhood know where I live. And for that reason, don't come to my house. I call them wise children. I mean, how many times can a kid hear, stay off my lawn, you idiots? How much can they put up with that? Anyway, of course I kid. I love Halloween. I love children. Whew. Anyway, it's over now. I don't have to put up with that for another year. I'm so sick of pumpkins. Everything's pumpkin-flavored, pumpkin-colored. Even Donald Trump is like the color of a pumpkin. I'm so sick of him, too. It's amazing. Thank God the holiday is over. Pumpkin beer. Who would have something? Who would drink that? Pumpkin beer. Out of all the things you can come up with, pumpkin beer. And you know what? I drink a pumpkin beer because it's like I'm supposed to by law. I can't taste a drop of pumpkin in that beer. I can't. All I know is I have to pee an hour later, and it doesn't make any difference whether I had pumpkin beer or whatever. I can't drink beer. It's like carbonated nothing. I don't understand that. I don't get the beer thing. I don't. I think I said on the show a couple of months ago, Guinness has come out with an alcohol-free beer. So you can drink Guinness beer and not have the horrible effects of alcohol. And then I said to myself, who would drink that? Why would you? Unless you're trying to fool the other people you're with because you're too embarrassed that you don't drink alcohol. So, I'll do a phony beer. I don't get it. I don't get the purpose of alcohol. Hey, Ron, would you like to have an alcoholic beverage? Sure. Here's a beverage that has no alcohol in it. Okay, you're not quite understanding the concept of this activity here. Alcohol-free beer. Then why? Why don't you just have a ginger ale or a Coke? I don't understand you. It makes no sense. Alcohol-free beer. You're driving under the influence of what? There's no alcohol in it. Get it. Come on, get out of the car and walk a lot. By the way, I can't walk a straight line even without alcohol. Give me that. Walk a straight line. You walk a straight line. I love that. I love that retort. I just love it. It's so stupid. It's so stupid Trumpy, you know. Hey, walk this line. No, you walk this line. What? Was that your argument? Is that part of your debate team training? I don't understand. It... Hey, why don't you shut up? Why don't you shut up? Oh, okay. I guess you win. What kind of argument is that? That's so stupid. Hey, you're ugly. No, you are. Ooh, I didn't know that. Okay, thank you. I'll shut up then. It's such a stupid argument. I could have been great on the debate team, you know? That would have been great. I would win every debate. You know, Russia is next to Germany. No, you're next to Germany. Oh, okay. All right, fine. By the way, Russia is not that close to Germany. It's in the general proximity, but not really. So, I don't know who wins that argument. No, you win the argument. Okay, all right, fine, whatever. So Halloween's over. Now we're gearing up for the next one, which is Thanksgiving. I talk about this holiday a lot because it's so strange. And of course, the shining quality of Thanksgiving is that you have people over to your house who you wouldn't dare have over to your house on any other day of the year. It's the first cousin, the second cousin, the third cousin, the 17th cousin, all that crap. People you don't know who are actually sitting in your house near you, don't do that. Don't invite them. Let them have their own Thanksgiving where they live. No, it's Thanksgiving and we open our table to everybody. Oh, God, not another one of you guys. You know, yeah, we have a Christian attitude. Oh, you got an attitude, all right. You're loving and caring and you share everything you have. I guess it's a good quality. It's just, I don't know how you do that. I mean, I don't know. Your tolerance level is fantastic. Would you like to, you're homeless. Would you like to live with me? Wow, that's like really open. And I'm glad there's somebody like you because not me. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm a loving person, but love stops at a certain point. Anyway, Ron, you sound like a terrible person. Yeah, I do. You're right, I do. I sound like a terrible person, but I'm not. People that know me personally know that I'm loving. I love all you sons of bitches. I do. It's just that people are so annoying. If that quality could just change a little bit, where people wouldn't be so annoying, then I'd be more comfortable with you. If you were more loving, I would be more loving, but I ain't starting it. You start it. No, you. Okay. No, you start it. No, you start it. He hit me first. No, he hit me first. No, he hit me first. No, he hit me first. Okay, this is working out nicely. I'm glad we could resolve our differences. This whole thing's crazy, man. I want to talk about something that was so interesting to me. There's a company called, I don't know, you know, I don't do research for this show because I just couldn't be bothered. And if I do research, then it sounds too, like, planned and stuff. I don't plan anything. Well, that's not true. I don't plan anything for this show, let's say. There's a company called Embark or just Bark. I don't know which. It's a company for dogs, and they do dog stuff, you know? They do dog services. I don't know what that means, but it's a company and they cater to dogs. Actually, they're catering to people because dogs can't buy things. Have you noticed that? Dogs cannot manipulate their paws to go into their wallet. I mean, dogs cannot buy things. We have to buy things in the name of dogs, but it's a company for dogs. Okay, let's just leave it there. And they're offering a service. It's Bark or Embark. I don't know which. But it's a television commercial that I saw, or I heard it on the radio or something, and it infiltrated my brain in some manner. And what they say is, we provide the service where you get a little bit of saliva from your dog or a little drool and send it into us, and we'll check the DNA of your dog. Oh, okay. And what would be the purpose of that? Well, you can check to see who your dog's ancestors are, if it's a pure breed or not, that kind of thing. Okay. Unless I'm going to breed the dog myself, I kind of don't give a shit. I want the dog to be healthy and kind and loving as I am, but I don't really care beyond that. Ron, don't you want to know your dog's DNA? No, because if it's not good, I have to tell my dog that it's not good, and my dog would not breed it. No, I don't think so. What do I need to know? Are you going to find out that your dog's great-great-great-great dog father was a carpenter? Oh, that's why my dog likes to build things. I mean, what the hell? What the hell? I don't believe in this ancestry stuff for humans. You think I'm going to buy it for dogs? Because it's not a free service. You have to pay for this service. And what I'm going to find out doesn't really matter. You know, your dog is prone to wheezing when it drinks water. I did not know that. It's absolutely ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. What my dog's ancestry? You know, your dog has a ancestor from the 1700s named Rover. Get out! Wow! You know, your dog is directly a descendant from Goofy, the Disney dog. I did not know that. Yes. Your dog is the great, 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 great grand dog of King Louis XIII's second dog. No, this is so amazing and important. You know, your dog is allergic to liver. You're allergic to liver. Oh, okay. Good comeback. What do I care about my dog's DNA? Again, if you want to find out if your dog is a purebred or what kind of mix it really is, I guess that would help, but I don't know. I don't know what they can do with that. God. DNA. Do not appreciate it. All right. What's your DNA, by the way? What is it? 6? I don't know if they do. I don't know if that's the answer to that. Hey, Bob, what's your DNA? I'm 6. Wow. What's your DNA, Ron? I think it's 4. Oh. But my mother's was 17. That's what I can't figure out. Wow, she's got a high DNA. I don't know what that means. Do you? No. But we know what our DNA number is. Wait a minute. That's not the DNA number. That's the Powerball number from last Friday. Oh. I thought it was my DNA number. I guess not. Well, this is confusing, Ron. Who are you talking to me in a strange voice that Ron is making believe he can do?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay.
All right. All right. We have an interesting guest coming up. But before we go to that, we have a short commercial break because it's very important that someone pays for this. Quite obviously, you are not going to do that. So I will ask you to listen to this.
Do you throw boring parties? Do your guests stand about with tepid drinks in their hands, vapidly striving for anything interesting to say to anyone? Do they glance at their watches around 9 p.m. and say, "Oh, look at the time"? Your parties need something, and you know it. Your parties need me, Thompson St. Thomas Fancy Bastard. For a gentlemanly, prearranged fee, I will arrive fashionably late to your party, bringing with me that dash of irresistible British charm and a soupçon of the joie de vivre of the French. Soon I'll have your guests regaled with stories of my vacation villa in Saint-Tropez, my zany youthful adventures in boys' school, And that one time I met the prince. Quite a story. For an extra fee, I could be the cheeky one, telling blue jokes and winking roguishly at all the girls. Got a piano? I've got a repertoire. Because what English gent can't just sit down at the Ivories and knock out everything from a raucous pub tune to a bit of Gershwin? I know I can. Because I'm Thompson St. Thomas, fancy bastard. And I'll see you at your next party. What time shall I arrive?
Ingrid Newkirk joins us now. She is the president of PETA. And, oh my goodness, I've been looking forward to speaking to you today. She's got a great book here that's 250 Vital Things Your Cat Wants You to Know. This is incredible. I've been looking for this book forever, and here it is. Thank you for doing this.
I'm delighted to have done it. There are so many people with cats who know someone with a cat, and it's important to have tips on what they're thinking about, what you should do for them, how easy it is to properly care for them, and what never to do.
Wow, this is great. I could talk to you for hours, but we're not going to. But there's a lot of tips in the book. We're just going to cover a few of them. But it's amazing. Here's the most important question, I think. Like, what do you do if your cat goes missing? How do you retrieve a cat? It's not like a dog where they come back to you, and dogs don't even do that.
It's very scary if you lose your cat.
Yeah.
I never thought it would happen to me, and it did. One of my cats got out through a tiny crack. You know, they can squeeze into anything.
Yes.
Or through anything. But a window was left open, just a tiddly bit. It was night, and she crossed the road because there was no traffic, so she didn't think anything of it. Went under a bush. It started to rain. She moved in the other direction to hide. And she was, when I finally got her back, thank goodness, 11 days later, scared, thin, frightened. She was, she had disappeared thinking that she couldn't come back over the traffic-filled road the next morning.
Oh.
And so she kept going. But I did it, I give lots of tips in the book. You talk to every child in the neighborhood. You talk to the mail carrier.
Uh-huh.
You look in pipes and down drainage ditches. You go out at night when it's really quiet, and you call and you listen because, as I say, they get scared and they get stuck places.
Yes.
But the biggest thing I did, the best thing that got her home and made someone call 11 days later, was I got giant pieces of plywood. And I put them up at all the intersections, and I simply said, reward, cat, and her color, and then the phone number where I made sure I was always at that number.
Yes.
I never put her gender, because I think people go, oh, that's a male, no, it's a female, no, that can't be the cat. But I also went to every shelter in person every day because they're very busy and just a call is not enough. But she came home.
She came home.
And I've got lots of tips of what you should do, like bang on car engines before you move them to make sure she's not up under the hood.
That's
good for any cat in winter anyway.
Cats can hide anywhere. You think that your cat got out. It could be like sitting in the basement or under a couch and just it's weird. Here's an important question for you. What's the biggest hazard to a cat in one's home?
Well, there are several, and I mean electrical wires. Certainly, somebody can be bored one day and start chewing on them. The dryer is a terrible thing. I've had wonderful people who care about their cats deeply, who heard a thump, thump, thump in the dryer and thought, oh, you know, Johnny's put his sneakers in, and it turned out it was the cat. They love to get into a warm dryer, so you always check that before you press the on switch. Houseplants, you've got to be a little bit careful. Things like hydrangeas and so on, anything a heart-shaped plant can be very dangerous. Their mouths can swell and so on. But I would always keep the Poison Control Center number, which is 855-764-7661, 855-764-7661, on my phone, on the fridge. And if something happens then, you know, you've got to get soapy water or hydrogen peroxide mixed with warm water down their throats and get to the vet. Better a vet than a regret. Don't use pine cleaner. Don't have a folding bed that you suddenly put together, and don't look under the, because they hide. You know, they love those little spaces. And so they are a hazard themselves unless you're checking and you're very vigilant.
When I was growing up, it was common practice to declaw your cat. Now it's not, which is great, because I wouldn't want to be declawed myself, and so I don't do it to animals. But nonetheless, how do you have furnitures and couches and things like that when those nails are, they're just exercising their nails? What do you do?
Well, that's an excellent question, because cats got a scratch. That's part of what they do. It's their nature. They stretch their backs and they get rid of their claws. But you should be trimming, of course. If you have a cat, you should always trim the nails. If you're scared of doing it, have the vet do it. But if you let them go and you haven't provided something else other than your couch, then it's your fault. So I always say we need to get out there, get a big stump from the woods, bang it around and leave it outdoors for a while to get rid of the bugs, then bring it in and let your cat scratch her heart out. Get sisal, or I think in the U.S. it's sisal, covered posts. Get those cardboard scratching posts that you can buy on the internet. Get anything that they can scratch. But if they are, never, never, ever declaw. That's the cruelest thing you can ever do, because it doesn't just remove the claw. It removes that whole first phalange. If you look at your finger, take off that first part of the digit. They'll never walk the same. It can hurt them.
That's like being circumcised when you're 65. No. Yes.
That's right. But you can also spray a little peppermint on your couch or a little lime. It's not offensive to us, but they don't like that. And when they start scratching in the wrong place, just pick them up gently and put them in the right place.
Yeah. The litter box is wonderful, but some cats actually seem to say, I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm a little annoyed, and I'm not doing this in the litter box. And then once the scent is somewhere else, you're in trouble. That seems to be a struggle for a lot of people with the litter box and then going and not using the litter box.
You know, it's funny, Ron, because, I mean, would you like to go into a bathroom and there's waste, you know, human waste on the floor and you have to step around it? They're so fastidious. So if you get a cat, do your duty, which means clean the box every time you see them go in it, clean it before you go to work, clean it when you come home, and then clean the whole thing at least once a week. I mean, they're really tidy, and their nostrils pick up the smallest smell. So you want to have a clean box. They may be figuring out a clever way to tell you that you're not doing them right by their litter box. I would get corn cobs, not clay, because corn cobs clump.
Oh.
That's a mouthful. But they also don't clog the intestines if they get them on their paws. Mm. But the biggest thing to worry about is your cat is very clever, and they can't speak human any more than you can speak cat. And they may have found a way to alert you to the fact that they're ill and that they have maybe cystitis, which can be quite serious.
Yeah.
You cannot see blood in the urine if they're going in the box. So it may be their way of saying, I need to go to the vet.
Yeah. That's another interesting thing. Dog owners, they go to the vet normally just for checkups and shots and things like that. Cats, a lot of people, that's not the case at all for cat owners, but many have a cat, and that's it. I have a cat, and if they get sick, I'll go to the vet. If not, I don't know what a vet is. It's kind of treated differently, which is not a good thing, I assume.
Well, you know, I always say rather a vet than a regret, but also cats get teeth problems.
Yeah.
They get gingivitis.
Yeah.
Their mouths may hurt sometimes. You need to look inside their mouths, smell their ears, pick up their tails if they'll let you. You can do that by scratching their back and then they lift their tails.
Yeah.
Just make sure everything is hunky-dory there. And one of the things, I had a person who thought their cat was just grumpy in his old age, and would hiss and spit when he tried to pet him.
Yeah.
And it turned out the cat actually had a brain tumor and was afraid of anyone touching him. So old age isn't a disease. You get aches and pains and things go wrong as you get old, but old age itself isn't a disease. So if the cat starts to behave differently, then maybe it's something physical. Don't just write it off, you know?
Interesting. I could talk to you for hours, but I'm not allowed. But there is a book that covers all of this. If you're a cat owner or you know somebody who has a cat, this is the book, and get it before the holidays too. It's precious. It's the Bible. It's 250 vital things your cat wants you to know. It's really important. Hey, this has been great. How can we get more information, and tell us how we can get in touch with PETA as well, because they do stuff like this all the time.
Thank you, Ron. Please, anyone who'd like any information about anything to do with animals, wants to help them in any way, go to PETA.org, PETA.org.
Ingrid, you're amazing. I appreciate your time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program as soon as I find out what my DNA is. But I found out what the DN is, but they didn't send me the A, so I don't know yet. Join me tomorrow, will you do so? I appreciate that. If you enjoy the program, and I think that's a stretch, do that little like thing or follow or subscribe or whatever. If you're listening to me on a radio station, tap the top of your speaker in showing love and compassion. I have no idea how to do that. I don't know what I'm talking about. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.